works, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Many of you probably know who Dan Betzer is, longtime Revival Time speaker and general, actually executive presbyter in the Assemblies of God now. He hosts a radio program that's called Byline. It's on the radio every day. Today they had two episodes. They had a special that was special edition that he called The Shaking and Waking of America. I thought it was excellent. I'd like you to listen to it as I read it tonight. He said, radio hosts have been talking about the hot topic of the day, the attack on America. We here at Byline record our shows weeks prior to the airing, so the radio show this morning did not address this important issue. However, the significance of this crisis has compelled us to address our listening audience. And these are Dan Betzer's thoughts on the tragic situation. Obviously, this horrendous situation is of great concern to every American, as well as peace-loving people around the world. I remember David Wilkerson making a prophecy almost 9 years ago that New York was in for a time of extreme terror. He prophesied Manhattan being on fire, of commerce stopped, of New York City being brought to its knees. Most of us either forgot or laid aside that prophecy. Wilkerson was right. Before the startled eyes of the world, we saw part of our greatest city and greatest buildings pounded to rubble by relatively few terrorists. Even as I write this to you, I am aware of the fact that there is not a single commercial aircraft flying in this nation. Our borders with Canada and Mexico are sealed. For the first time in my lifetime, which goes well before World War II, I am a prisoner in my own country. You are too. We do not have physical access to the world. I am reminded of God's warnings to us in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Those many things that you and I as Americans have taken for granted almost as divine right are suddenly gone, at least for now. We may never have such freedom of movement again as we have enjoyed in years gone by. God is trying to get America's attention. I've had phone calls from commercial, non-religious radio stations. Please come and speak to our people. We need help. We need God. Last night, without pre-advertising, our large sanctuary in Fort Myers, Florida, was nearly filled with sobbing, broken people calling out to God. The question is this: will this shaking be sufficient? Or are we so hard-hearted that we will need another jolt? God forbid. May America sincerely call out to the Lord while he may be found, and somehow, despite all of our shortcomings, may God bless America once again. I'm going to have Pastor Craig come and share some thoughts that he has, and then I'm just going to ask you if you have some thoughts or you'd like to express yourself this evening. We'll take a few minutes to do that. I think that's important at a time like this. And then after that, a whole lot doesn't need to be said by me, but I think we need to do some talking to God this evening. So first of all, Pastor Craig.
What I really would like to do is read what I've been the last 2 weeks at youth group. First of all, 1 week just read this, and then the second week expounded on it. And I think it ties in a little bit of what's happened. And the fact of so often we're concentrated on things that we can see and not the things that we can't see. And we don't think necessarily about the future, but how we can please ourselves at each moment in time. And me reading from 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18, just three verses. If you want to turn there, if not, that's fine with me. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And we, it's hard to think of the things that have happened, but the fact is, like I was talking to the youth last week, we're on a journey. And in that journey, there's these roadblocks that kind of come in our way, and it's how we handle that kind of defines us as a people. And gathering together here as a church tonight, I think defines us as a people here. And the fact is that we know that God's in control. We know that it's not about the things that we see, but it's the things that we don't necessarily see, and the fact that God is working through this situation. And I know that you hear it all the time that God's in control, and I just want to encourage you tonight to just put your faith in God to the point where we don't understand everything that's happened, why it's happened, how this could happen to us. We so often think we're blessed by God, and I truly do believe that God has blessed his nation. But at the same time, so many people have been running from God. And sometimes it takes roadblocks in our way to wake us up. And just also I'd like to challenge you just to realize that at any moment in time, the person standing next to you may not be there the next time that you see them. And that we need to take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us. And just to be open to the Spirit's leading to share Christ with them. And just understand that it's more than just how much money we can make this week or the things we can buy or sell or the places we can go or shop. But it's things that are not seen. It's eternal things. And who's going to be in heaven with us and who's not out of the thousands of people who died. I would like to know how many people of them knew Christ and how many didn't. And, you know, we talk about how many people died. How many people went to hell?
Does anybody have anything you'd like to share this evening?
Well, I was thinking of the great sorrow that this has caused. We realize this thing has caused an awful lot of sorrow. Many different stories will come out of it. And I know I was especially praying last night for the people underground. I thought that the people that are out, they could take care of and give them drugs and take the pain away, but the people underground would really suffer. So I really prayed for the people underground that they would be found and that they wouldn't have to be amputated if possible. And I know they said the one guy who came out that they thought for sure would have to be amputated and he didn't have to be. So I just thank the Lord that he was spared. And you know, it makes us realize that we do not know what's ahead in this world for any of us. And we know also that the good and the bad suffer together. We know that there were good ones amongst those people. And we know there was probably bad ones. probably some people that just delayed asking the Lord to come into their heart and to live for them. I know Brian was saying the other night that going to the prison, those prisoners are hungry for the Lord because, you know, they're shut in, they can't get out. And so the Lord is about the only one they can really turn to for help. But he said if you go out on the streets, you're talking to other people, so many people are interested in the Lord. And sometimes it takes great sorrow to move our hearts, but it sure is very sad that you know that so many people have to suffer. And I don't know what it will bring us to, possibly to war, but I pray for the president that he will have the right judgment. And I think that's one thing we all should pray for. And I was so glad that you mentioned a portion of the 23rd Psalm, and when his heart really is turned to the Lord for our help, and he's not ashamed to say it, because a lot of people will turn to the Lord at this time, of course, we know. But I'm glad for the president that we have in this day. And I'm glad for our Lord especially that we can have him to look to. And I could have never lived without him in all the trials and tests of life. And I know too, when I get a little short on prayer, it's easier to get a little shorter on my nerves and patience. And we all need patience, and we all need the love of Christ within us. People are people, they're going to make mistakes, and I don't think we need to look at them and judge real critical. I think in this case we can say it's terrible, terrible, but when people make normal mistakes against us and offend us in small ways, I think we should be very quick to forgive and very quick sometimes to do something good for that person. I've tried this a lot of times and it sure worked out good for me to just think of something good I can do for something feelings. And it is important to grow love. Somebody said to me, you only got so much love. But do you know that you can grow love in your hearts? By doing something good for somebody else, it makes love grow in your heart. And I think the best thing is to pray at first to God for a person. It says pray for them that is spitefully useless in person. So I'm glad for the Lord tonight. I'm going to just all go on with him and work for him always and not fall away from him, because he is the one we need. We never know. Well, some people do know when they're going to die, but most people don't know when they're going to die. I know the night before it happened, I know I went through a lot of torments and dreams and stuff, and that's very unusual for me. And when I went to sleep, just before I went to sleep, I saw a vision of only one grave, and it was full of water. And I thought, well, Lord, what does this mean? And I realized, I began to wish I had the gift of prophecy, that I could know what was ahead. And you know, the Lord did say to pray for the gift of prophecy. So that's something you can all think about. If you ask the Lord for wisdom and pray for prophecy, it would be a wonderful gift for people and a wonderful testimony for the Lord. And it is a gift you can pray for.
Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else?
I'm reminded of the scripture, seeing it in several different applications, but I'm reminded of it now. 2 Timothy 3, you've heard me quote it before probably. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, loves of pleasure, knowing the love of God, and in the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with their divers lusts. Ever running, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And I think that's the religious people. Yes.
Thank you, Bob. Anybody else? Debbie.
One of the things we've been talking about, I have a contemporary social issues class, which is for seniors only in my high school. And of course we've been talking about this because we talk about current events and everything that's going on, and that's what that class is about. And so obviously obviously we've been talking about this yesterday and today. One of the things that was brought up today is that my generation and the younger generations have never lived through hard times due to war of any nature and things like that. And that, that we don't know the true value of life. Our, supposedly my generation as a, on average, you know, as averages and as a whole, just has no real concept of, you know, there's things like work ethics and just all sorts of things that my generation has been exposed to have no concept of. And really, as it's been said before, is that I think that we should all learn from this. And in my high school, that's how we're treating and that's how the teachers are treating it. That we should learn from this and that we should learn that, you know, maybe we do live and we do have things, but I mean, we shouldn't take things for granted, and that we should truly love the people around us, that, and that the blessings that we have, you know, count our blessings, definitely. And so I guess that's one thing that's pretty cool that's happening in my high school, is just that the life is treating it that way, and we're just trying to make the best of it, you know.
Okay, thanks. Everybody's talking about it, so it's a good time to speak up for the Lord.
Immediately, 12 languages started flying, and they were watching what's happening on TV, and I just thought how sad that that's all they have, you know? And my thought goes to prayer, and they're in the 12 language. I was just kind of taken back by that. And today, it was just I and the guy in the office, and he's a young guy that's only worked in our office a few months, and he's a real nice guy, and I've kind of wondered if he was a Christian, but he tends to kind of use language once in a while. He'll always apologize when the other ones don't necessarily, but today he was telling me about God. I said something about church or something that he just started bubbling with. He had been to this group, and he was going to join this group, and he didn't know what the name was. He said some name that meant nothing to me. Well, as it turned out, he had gone to Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames at Harvest Time in Eau Claire. And then his wife had gone forward to accept the Lord, and he was just all excited they're going to join us. It was so wonderful. And he's Catholic and didn't really know what was going on, except that he wanted this, you know. So I just thought that's a good opportunity. Our boss is gone for 2 weeks, so we'll have time to talk in the office, and when they come back, they'll see it will change. And to their invitation, and I talked on the phone, and she was just sad, you know, it's just a big black cloud, we just want to come home, and they're in Canada, and couldn't get back across the border yesterday, and I just would like to be able to use this for
sure.
for the Lord.
Amen.
In my office.
Amen.
When I say this is a wake-up call for America, and I think not only for America, but for us as people. Last night when we got in bed, leaned over and talking to myself, I'm glad you've been here tonight. Because I was thinking about all the people that had to go to bed alone last night. And how sad it is, like Craig said, you never know when the person next to us is going to leave or be gone for some reason. And I'm so thankful that we do know the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes I love
thank you.
one more thing I'd like to share with you, and then a scripture verse, and we'll go to pray. I just received this before I came over tonight. Titled it was As Close as It Gets, Building Debris Just Misses Minister's Husband. Maria Correa, Spanish Eastern District Missionettes Coordinator and pastor of King of Kings Church in Brooklyn, New York, was down at the scene as a medical volunteer last night. Despite the tragedy, she has a lot to be thankful for. Her husband was driving past the World Trade Center, and her daughter was working in a nearby building when the terrorist attacks began. "My husband was right across the street from World Trade Tower number 2, said Correa. "He's an inspector for the sprinkler systems out there, and he had left early. He saw the plane hit the building, and a piece of the tower flew right over his car and hit the car in front of him." Correa's husband spent time assisting other drivers before escaping the area, and her daughter got to safety. Correa also reports that the 18 minutes between the time the planes hit the buildings was crucial. In those 18 minutes, they got out all of the children out of the first world. They had a daycare center on the first floor. All the children were taken to safety. Correa also witnessed many churches, including Assemblies of God churches, already in action. "The churches are already out there," she said. "Churches have taken trucks of food and water out to volunteers. A lot of Christian volunteers are giving out water, sandwiches, food, and tracts. New York is really coming together." However, being a medically trained volunteer working with other medical volunteers last night at the disaster was far from comforting for Correa. "There are people still alive in those buildings," she said. "One of them contacted somebody through a laptop, and others made contact through cell phones. It's really sad. We just can't reach them." A lot of pastors closed their services but have opened their churches for prayer. I would ask people to keep all these families in prayer. It's time for us to unite in prayer. And that's what we're here for tonight, to hold them up in prayer and to unite in prayer. A couple of verses the Lord laid on my heart this morning was from Psalm 102. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as a hearth." God promises that if we pray and cry aloud to him, that he will answer us. And the cry of the psalmist here is that God would answer quickly, speedily. And I trust that he would do the same for us this evening as we intercede in prayer on behalf of those that are injured, those that need rescuing, those that are in the rescuing process, those family members that have lost loved ones, and the list could go on and on this evening. So what I'd like to do is just open up for a time of corporate prayer here. First of all, we'll pray together, and then after we break up, you can stay as long as you want and pray individually. But I think it would be great if everybody could move toward the front, and you could stand where in your pew, or you can sit in your pew, or you can come and kneel at the altar, or just do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to ask that you would lead us in prayer as you feel burdened. Okay, so anybody who feels a burden to pray tonight, pray out loud. Pray aloud that we could all join with you in your burden and sharing your burden tonight. So could you do that? If you're going to move, move. Come to the front. Kneel at the altar. Stand in front. Whatever you'd like to do, just do it this evening. And then as soon as somebody feels like they would like to lead us in prayer, please do so this evening.
Work through this tragedy. Christians, this time to shine even brighter in the star of the Lord. So right now we have a tremendous opportunity to speak your word to the world, to show them that you have a plan in all of this. We don't know right now what that plan might be, Lord, but just help us to shine forever brighter.
That have lost loved ones tonight. I'm sure that many of them feel like the psalmist. Their heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that they forget to eat their bread. By reason of the voice of their groaning, their bones cleave to their skin. They're like a pelican in the wilderness, an owl in the desert, a sparrow alone upon the housetop. They've eaten ashes like bread and mingled their drink with weeping. Lord, for those that are trapped, that you would hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death. Lord, today we pray that you will arise and that you will show mercy, that you will show love, that you will show favor. Lord, that you would extend your grace. Lord, that you would extend your peace to those that need it tonight. Lord, minister in mighty and miraculous ways. Lord, in all kinds of situations, Lord, that you would minister to these people, and that, Lord, that those that do not know you would turn to you, and that those that do know you would be able to talk about your sustaining grace, and they would declare your name and give you praise. Lord, we don't really know how you can do it, but we do know that you will somehow bring good out of this situation and bring honor and glory to yourself. For we pray it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
word says, God, that all things work together for the good of those who love you. And just pray, God, that somehow we cannot fathom how good can come out of this, but we know, Lord, that you have a plan and that you're going to take care of everything. And we just ask, God, that that plan would begin to take place. And we thank you, God, for a president and the situation we know could be worse. And we pray, God, that he is a man that cares about you and doing your will. He has stated that, that he desires you to guide him. We pray, Lord, that he would ask the right questions. Lord, that he would accept the plan that you have for this country, and that he would surround himself with people of wisdom and godly men that would give him guidance and wisdom also. Lord, that he would not be having this all upon his own shoulders, Lord, but he would be able to distribute this amongst godly men. We pray, Jesus, that you would just send your comforter to those that are struggling in pain. Lord, we know that we have friends and family, even members of this youth group that have graduated on and joined the armed forces. God, we just pray for them right now. We just ask, God, that you would give them wisdom, guidance. We pray for safety for them. Lord, that you would just continue to protect them. You do not abandon us just because we leave this building, but you are with us wherever we go. We ask, Lord, that you would use your word to be our lamp and guide our feet in the paths that we take as a country and as individuals. We pray for opportunities, Jesus, that you would help us and use us. Lord, that this situation would not, that we would not look back on this and say, I did nothing in this midst of tragedy, but I did my best to help and to be used by you. Lord, may we not have any regrets about the way we've lived our lives, but may we live them, Lord, for you.
Help us to know that you're coming.
thank you for coming tonight, and I really don't want to close. If you want to stay and pray individually, you can do that as long as you like. Okay, these doors are open. The altars are here for you. You can be dismissed whenever you'd like. Now, if you'd like, if you want to stay and pray, to get alone with God, that's great too. It's your desire tonight. God bless you.